thank you for Pastor Dave and the word that you've placed in his heart this morning. Father, we ask you to let him bring it forth in a powerful way to church, touch and change our lives and mold us and shape us into the image you would have us to be. Father, be upon his life this morning as he brings forth thy word, and be upon our ears, Lord.
God,
have
you're
us
awesome.
To hear it, Lord. God, let the altar service be a product of your Holy Spirit, and Father, we'll be sure to give you glory, honor, praise for it all. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all stand up. I want you to stretch a little bit. A little bit then. How about... All right, now I want you to reach around and give somebody a high five, low five, no five. Tell them you're glad to be in the house of God today. High five. God is awesome. I'm gonna get you to stand up in a second. I just remember when I saw you. You know, 100. Hello. Oh, we did. There's five across my lip. Ready? Nope. Before y'all get the word out and restart again for the word, I want y'all to hear this. I forgot last week to tell it, and so this week we got the. I started saying the horse's mouth, but that don't sound good. So we got the person, the source. Thank you. That's okay. The source, not the horse. Tell them what you're going to tell them.
Okay, I've been working on trying to get a charter school in Aurora. I need parents to fill out a survey. It's whoever wants me to send them a survey, I can text it to them or email it to them, however. But it's, I don't remember the name of the website. But I can give it to you. I have it on my phone. So just let me know. We need 100 parents to fill out the survey so we can show that the community is interested in the charter school. And everything else should be ready to go.
Tell them what kind of the learning what, the way you're going.
It's called a STEM school. So it's basically like the lady that came to me and asked me to help with it. She's from Raleigh, and she was part of the Sylvan Learning Center. So it's going to be a child-based learning instead of in the classroom where the teacher is the focus. Every focus is going to be on the child, and they will be able to learn on their own level. And they have to conquer the subjects and, you know, the stuff before they can move on. And they do a lot of group learning, and it's basically going to be focused on math and science and, you know, just your basic curriculums. And then everything else is they come together and do a lot of group learning and project learning and that kind of stuff. But I think it's really important that our children have an opportunity to get back to the basics and learn on their own levels, and they don't have to worry about, you know, being lost. If they're too smart, they're not learning anything, and if they're not on level, then they just sit there and be bad. So this will make every child feel smart because they're doing their own thing and don't have to worry about what the other children are doing.
Amen. Amen. Everybody get your Bibles out. Are you happy and you know it?
Amen.
Say amen. If you're happy and you know it, let your face surely show it. Hebrews chapter 11. I get up every morning and make my wife coffee, and I believe it's biblical. It's healthy too. But it's biblical. Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews. Y'all stand for the reading of the word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. One verse. You can say, we're only going to do one verse. Well, in a minute, you're going to find out we're going to do a bunch of verses, but we're starting out with one. Okay. Hebrews. Is that? Okay. That's all right. Okay. Hebrews 11:21. I want y'all to read this with me. It's important because we read it so many times. Many times the scripture is full of nuggets. So full of nuggets, and we just pass right by them. And so I want you to read this nugget, and I want you to tell me, I want you to see why, of course, I've already got it up there now, you'll know, but again, read it with me. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. I want y'all to read that one more time. What's the focus here? There's plenty of focuses. He's dying, number one. He wants to do a blessing on Joseph's youngest, and he remembered how he had deceived his father when his father was dying. So he's making sure that the birthright and all the stuff's going like he wants it. But also, the biggest thing here is, read it one more time with me out loud, and I'll show you the major focus that we're going to focus on today. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. I want to focus on leaning on the top of his staff. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're all powerful, Lord, that there's absolutely nothing, Lord, that you can't handle. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister, Lord, to us and through us, Father. Let us know, Lord, that you're with us, God. And Lord, help us to see your word, Lord, and your word to help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Look at somebody on the way down and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Now today, I hope that you're going to see something. The name of this sermon, actually, I got to lean on his staff, but actually, the name of this sermon may seem a little bit deceptive, you know, but I want you to hear me out here. The name of this sermon is Limping Over the Finish Line. Limping over the finish. I hear people all the time, especially back in the olden days when the ladies got up and were testifying about how they couldn't wait to just sweep into the gates, and they were going to leap and they were going to jump through the gates and over the finish line. Well, I'm going to leap through the gates of heaven, yes. But I can tell you with a surety that on the way up, when I cross that finish line, I'm going to limp. Somebody's looking at me now like, what is this guy doing? Where is he coming from? Let me finish. Matter of fact, if you're victorious today, you're victorious because you have a limp. Woo! That's a good place to shout right there. If you're victorious today, it's because you have a limp. I want you to watch this now. We all have there's two types of trials that come in all of our lives. Two types. There's only two. Somebody say two. There's another two. I'm going to make it real simple here, simple as it can be. First, there is, talking about finish line and jump, running and jumping, the first trial that we have is actually going to be a sprint. It's short term. You can define the start. You know when it starts. You know when it ends. And matter of fact, if you're going to talk about how we're going to handle the sprint, the short term problem is going to be microwaved in, out. 10 seconds, whoop, and there it is. You get, you know, I remember my boys thinking that it was hard the time the microwave was down, and we had to pop popcorn on the stove. Amen, because you stick it in that bag in the microwave, and a minute and a half, here's your popcorn. Yeah, you ain't got to shake it. You ain't got to do all that stuff to it. You know, there it is. But see, the sprint problems in our life, the short problems, the ones that we can actually know it's a short-term problem, Sort of like a bad tooth. You know you got the bad tooth. You go to the dentist takes it in, and there may be some pain involved in it, but he fixes that tooth, he extracts it, or does a root canal, whatever it is. He takes that tooth, he fixes it. It's a short-term problem. You can know when it starts, you can know when it stops. It is microwavable. But then there's not the sprint, there's the marathon. Now the marathon is different than the sprint. How many of you have ever seen a sprint in a marathon? A sprint's like a 100-yard dash. A marathon can be 26 miles. There's a difference in 100 yards and 26 miles. Amen. There's a difference, a big difference. Matter of fact, the marathon is long term. It seems like it's never ending. You can define the start, but you just wish for the end. Lord, when's it ever going to end? Anybody ever said that? Are you saying it now? God, when is this problem ever going to end? I know when it started, and I don't see any end in sight. This is not a microwavable problem. This is a crock pot problem. Some of us, you got to understand there's certain things when God does things in your life that he sprints, it's microwavable. Then it's sometimes God's working in your life and it's a crock pot. And you're going, Lord, when is this ever going to end? I can tell you what, I don't know. But he does. Amen? So here's Jacob. Jacob actually had a long-term problem. It was called S-E-L-F. Nobody in here ever has a problem with you trying to fix your own problems, do you? Nobody's in here has tried to help God out, take care of things for you. Okay, well, Jacob, he was always fixing it himself. He was always figuring it out himself. Well, Jacob has this long-term problem. God said, I can't microwave this young man. I got to crockpot him. Some of y'all right now like that old tough rooster that grandma used to put in the pressure cooker. Remember the pressure cookers? Before they had crockpots, they had pressure cookers, and you stuck it in there and you sealed it down, and that thing got a bunch of pressure in it, and all of a sudden there's a thing on the top, depending on how bad you wanted to compress it, you decided by turning the knob on the top, and it would go. You remember that? And then it would go, and you're going, the rooster's getting ready now. All right, so now, here's God. Some of y'all right now, if you could hear in the background spiritually, it's going, you'd rather go, 1, 2, 3, ding, 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 ding. It's going, crock pot, taking forever. So watch this, let's talk about it now. Here's Jacob, leaning on his staff. Now I want you to understand something about the staff. We got to start here if we're going to finish out the rest of the way. Because God would not have put that in his word if it was not significant. So now, leaning upon his staff, it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Jacob and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And this is often overlooked. I looked at it for years, and then one night it hit me, and I went, wow! I mean, wow! I hope some of y'all here today went, wow! When we talked about the staff. For you see, the staff is a powerful instrument. The staff was used to defend yourself and to defend others, to defend the sheep, defend your family against prowlers. It was there to steady you in rough places. It was to keep you when you're walking across rough spots, when stuff was really, the terrain was so bad that you could not keep yourself steady. That's what it was there for. But not only was it there for those two things, it's just something that we both know without a shadow of a doubt what that is. There's something else. And that is, it's there to remind you. Now what I mean by remind you, what has remind got to do with anything? I want you to see this staff right here. Back in that day, and they still do it today, the staff, they would decorate it. Now, some guys just decorate the staff, but the wise men would actually take significant events in their life, and they would put it on their staff, sort of like a totem pole. And they would take this staff, and you would see, like with David, the Bible says when David went out to fight Goliath, he said he went out with a sling and a stone and his staff. They weren't talking about he had 10 guys in the back with papers going, what's next, Dave? He had his staff with him. And as he's talking to Saul and as he's talking to Goliath, he says, I fought the lion and I fought the bear. And he's going to be just like that. Watch this. So here's his staff. He's going, I fought the lion and I fought the bear. And it says, I'm getting ready to put your name up here too, big boy. All right? Kind of like a notch on those, notch on his gun. There it is, the lion, the bear, Goliath. Okay, so here is Jacob. He's got his staff, and he's got all this stuff, these significant points in his life on his staff. So now let's just take it a little bit. So he's leaning on top of his staff. Laying on top of it, it's steadying him. But not only is it steadying him, every time he looks at it, it reminds him. Wow. Every time he uses his staff to walk, it reminds him of several instances in his life. Matter of fact, this staff steadied him more than it steadied others because of an encounter he had with God. So now let's watch this. This is so awesome. So here's this powerful instrument, this staff. Now what was he trying? What was this reminding him of? Number one, it reminded him of a past that he needed to forget. How many got something in your past you wish you could forget? How many got something in your past that, you know, I remember this guy, the oldest wife said he was sorry, and she said, okay. And every time they got in an argument, she said, you remember what you did? He says, yeah, but you forgave me. She says, I know. And every time he did some mess, she'd go it again. And he said, I thought you said you forgave me. And now, so to forgive and forget, she says, it is. She says, but I just don't want you to forget that I forgave you. Forgive and forget. So I said that all the guys, here's their wives that start going like this going. Okay, so now, watch this. Now, here we go. So now, he had a past that he would rather forget. It started, I'm not going to go through all of it and read it all because it would take a long time. But first, before birth, he wrestled with his brother. He and Esau and the mama's womb are twins. And they're wrestling in the womb. And as they're wrestling in the womb, God tells them there's two nations in there. There's Israel and there's Edom. And they're in there fighting. They're wrestling. And he says that's what's going on. There's a wrestling happening. And when they're born, first there's the birth. Before the birth, they wrestled. Then as they were born, he was holding on to Esau's heel saying, I'm going first. Esau said, no, you ain't. And so he hangs on to his heel. And as he hangs on to his heel when he's born, Jacob means heel catcher. They described what it was at birth. Heel catcher. Heel catcher means deceiver. It means conniver. It also means somebody that's going to live by their own wit. Now, nobody here has ever lived by your own wit. Amen? No. Y'all quit pointing fingers, too. All right, so now watch. It's time for Isaac to die. And so it's looking kind of rough. Isaac, he's dying. It's getting in there. And first, there's a birthright issue. He knows Rachel keeps telling him that Rebecca keeps telling him that he's going to be great and he's going to be over his brother. We're going to make sure this happens. And so he comes in. Esau comes in from hunting. As he comes in from hunting, he's about to starve to death. And here goes Jacob with a bowl of Cheerios or oatmeal or whatever you want to call it. And he says, give me that oatmeal. And he says, I tell you what, sell me your birthright. And he goes, what? Sell me your birthright. He said, well, if I'm dead, the birthright won't do me any good, so here's my birthright. To us, that might seem like a little of nothing, but to them, that was a big thing. Very big thing. So then as Isaac is dying, he wants to bless Esau. So he says, go get me some venison and come back and I'll bless you. And so as he goes to get the venison, his mama takes him and makes him hairy like his brother, puts the sheepskin on him and makes him some savory meat. And he says, here, you get the blessing. So he goes and gets the blessing. So everywhere you look, this guy's living by his own way to make God's make what he feels he needs and what he feels he needs to do and what he thinks his life should be. It's all about him and he's working it out. It looks pretty cool. I got it all worked out. Anybody here say, man, I got it all worked out? Have you ever said that? And last time you said, I got it all worked out. All right, so watch. It was all worked out. Then, so now, he's betrayed Esau, his brother. His mama sends him to Laban. He goes to Laban, his uncle. He winds up getting Rachel and Leah. His uncle actually deceives him too, so he gets two wives. And so he stays with his uncle Laban for 20 years, and he's still trying to figure out how to make it work. And so now he's on. He figures out, now I'm just going to take my stuff and I'm going to run. So now he's on the run from Laban. He wants to go home, but he's got word that Esau's coming to get him. So watch this. Have you ever been in a spot where your past and your future are getting ready to collide at the same time? And you're stuck right there in the middle. And you go, God, I don't know exactly how to handle this, but I'll figure it out. Well, come on, y'all. Don't get super whopper whooper duper spiritual with me. We will figure it out. You know, I heard, I was looking over an office, over the logbook in an office kept by the computer staff one day, and I noticed several entries starting with the problem, or starting with the problem was picnic, in capital letters, P-I-C-N-I-C, picnic. So I asked the technician, what does picnic mean? He laughed and told me it means problem in chair, not in computer. Picnic. So next time somebody's going, help me with this thing. I just zapped it into cyberspace. Help me out. You can walk by and just say nothing else, think to yourself when they say, what's wrong with it? Picnic. Problem in chair, not in computer. Amen. His problem was in him. For 20 years, God's trying to get to him. For 20 years, God's trying to use him. For 20 years, God's got something special for this man. But he's staying in his own way. Now, that's some heavy-duty stuff, Jacob here. But you know what? If you want to know the truth about it, we can talk about this till the cows come home. And we can say, well, I'm not like Jacob. I ain't got all these cows. I ain't got all this stuff. And I didn't put fur in my arm and try to deceive my dad. No, maybe not to that extent. But every last one of us, every one of us, has a battle that we must fight. And we fight it every day. And that's a battle with our flesh. We can point fingers, we can talk about other people, but the problem is picnic. The problem is in chair, not in somebody else. And so we have to figure out, as we go forward for God, how we're going to handle that little problem called self. Yourself, matter of fact, if you look in the mirror every morning, you can look up and say, God, I know out of all the people I'm going to encounter today, that person in the mirror is going to be my biggest problem. Amen? And so here we go. There was on that stick, there was a past to forget. But you look up on the stick a little bit harder, and you see a promise that he needed to embrace. I'll put it up here. You can turn to it if you want to, but it's up here so you can read it. We can read it together. Genesis 28, he had a dream, and when he saw it, he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set upon as a pillar will be God's house. And all of you that give me, all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Now, what here is, now here he is, he's got a past that's catching up to him. Laban's coming after him. He's got a further past, which now is his future. Something he did in the past now is catching him up in the future. He's got Esau coming this way. He's got Laban this way. And God's saying, I got a promise for you. Now, let me ask you a question. Hey, have you ever felt God said he's going to promise you? He promises to give you something, But the problems around you are so tough, you begin to wonder, Lord, how in the world can you keep that promise? Because I see what's going on around me. So here he is. He's got a problem he wants to forget on that stick. He's got a promise that God gave him that he wants to embrace. And then, oh, here it goes. He's got the past. He's got the promise. But in order to collect the promise, he's got to deal with the problem. This is the hard part. This is where people like to close the book. Well, I read enough for tonight. I reckon I'll go to sleep. But it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, just in case, I'll be ready to go to sleep when the sleep comes. I'm closing the book. We have heard so much about prosperity in this nation that we have been rocked to sleep in God's Word. And God's Word has so full of riches and glorious moments for us. And it's more than how many houses I can own and how much land I can have. God wants to do a work within us. And when you talk about this kind of prosperity, there's going to be problems to deal with. And it's more than just praying it away. Get ready. Genesis 32. I will read Genesis 32 a little bit. Genesis 32. Y'all can turn there with me if you'd like. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. Now, Mahanaim actually means two camps or two armies. You got to remember, behind him is Laban. Him and Laban have already tried to work out something, but still, that's behind him. In front of him is Esau coming with 400 men, go kill him. And all this is about to collide. He is in the middle. He feels like he is in a terrible, terrible sandwich, and he's the meat in the middle of this sandwich, getting ready to. So watch. God sends these two armies, and he commanded him, saying, "Thou shalt speak unto my lord Esau, that thy servant Jacob thus said, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have asses and oxen and flocks and manservants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We come to thy brother Esau, and he also cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, the flocks and the herds, and the camels into two bands." Here he goes again, he's figuring it out. And he said, "If Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company will be left that shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord has said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all mercies and of all truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. With my staff I've passed over this Jordan, and now I'm come between, or have become two bands. Deliver, I pray thee, for the hand of my brother from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night and took that which came to his hand, a present to Esau for his brother, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kin, and 10 bulls, 10 she-asses, and 10 foals. And delivered into the hand of the servants every drove by themselves. And he said unto his servants, Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and ask thee saying, What are these, and whither thou goest, and whose these are before thee, thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's, in the presence is sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he is behind us. And he commanded the second and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, On this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. Again, he's working it out. And said, Moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for I said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and after I will see his face, peradventure he will accept me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. Here we go. Here's where the limping comes in. And he rose that night and took two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. Jabbok actually means, I want you to see what Jabbok means. It means passing over. It means to struggle, to empty yourself, to pour it all out, to go for the gusto, so to speak, with God. For 20 years, God's been patient with this man. For 20 years. Sometimes, I'm 54 years old, sometimes I think God's just been patient with me 54 years. For 20 years, he's been patient, he's been watching, he's been laying out the seed, he's been showing the way for him to go, and still, Jacob is still doing it his way. But tonight, at Jabbok, he's pouring it all out. Tonight at Jabbok, he says, okay, God, I got a past behind me. I got a future in front of me. I'm in the middle. I'm getting crushed. I can't breathe. I'm suffocating. I need help. Here it is, God. I'm laying it all on the line tonight. Now, how many want to be used by God? If you want to really be used by God, there's going to have to come a time in your life when you look behind you, look in front of you, and you lay it all on the line. And you said, okay, God, I don't know what to do anymore. I got this terrible stuff back here. I'm not sure what's going on up here. I don't know. And there has to come a Jabbok experience in everybody's life. You got to come to the point, a servant of God, in order to be an effective servant of God, has to come to this breaking point where they say, God, enough of me. I'm giving it all to you this night. Now, wouldn't it be nice if God just said, okay, there it is, I've been waiting. Let's go. Get on up there and everything's fixed. Wouldn't it be nice? That's microwave. He ain't going to microwave him. He's been crock-potting him. He's that old tough rooster in that pressure cooker. Ain't looking good. And so here he goes. And so he's at Jabbok. And then he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, so he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what's thy name? Now don't you know God knew his name? Why is he asking him his name? For his purpose? No, for Jacob's purpose. Jacob said any of himself. Jacob said, I'm going to pour it all out. And so God says, I'm going to see how much you really mean this. And so he wrestles with him. God could overcome him. But God let him wrestle and wrestle and wrestle to the point where he pulled his hip, not only out of joint, but he shrunk it. So from now on out, his hip's going to be like this in that socket for the rest of his life. And so now he's going to walk with a limp. He says, now what's your name? Why is that important? God, I don't want to tell you my name. You know my name. I need you to confess that you've been trying it all on your own. I need you to confess that you've tried to do it all by your own will and your own mind and your own intellect. And I need you to confess that God, I think I got it all worked out. I need you at the point where you say, God, I don't have it all worked out. I don't know it all. I can't figure it all out. I am at my wit's end. And when that happens, good stuff begins to happen. And he said, thy name shall not be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, I has power with God and with men and has prevailed. Now, let's just stop right there I love this. This is such an awesome story. It's full of hurt, but it's awesome, awesome, awesome. For 20 years, God was patient. God gets him in a wrestling match. He's waiting for Jabbok. Jacob finally goes to Jabbok. He's by himself. Now he wrestles him. His hip is damaged. And as his hip is damaged, there becomes a new beginning, because now, watch this, now he's got a new name. Jacob means supplanter. It means to get it by your own will, to get it by your own understanding. It means to work it out yourself. But now his name is Israel, which means Prince with God. So he's got a new name. Notice he got a new name, but now he's got a new walk. Some of y'all been wondering when I was going to pull this out, didn't you? He's limping. Wait a minute. That don't go with some of this mess I watch on TV about how God, if I get sent $1,000, God's going to pay my house off, my car off, every credit card I got. He's going to give me $1 million in the bank. That ain't what I saw on TV. You know what? God will take care of you. God will bless you. God will help you pay your bills. God will do all that. But you know what? He's more. You know what he cares about more? You. Your character. And you know what? Every last one of us in here, we can think of things that's happened to us in our life that we wish hadn't have happened. And because it's happened, it's made us walk with a limp. And we're thinking, this don't sound like what everybody's talking about, running over the finish line. But you know what? I'd rather any day to the week have an army of guys on crutches than have a whole bunch jumping up down showing Jack LaLanne. He don't know what he's talking about. Matter of fact, Jack LaLanne, you know what you get when you mix Jack LaLanne with Tinkerbell? Richard Simmons. Okay. So he's got a new name. He's got a new walk. And watch this. He's got a new dependence now. Before Jabbok, he depended on himself. I got this. I don't need any help. But after Jabbok, God, you don't help me. I ain't walking. You say, well, that doesn't sound cool, a new dependence. Well, watch this one. With that new dependence comes a new freedom. Because now I'm not depending on David Linton anymore. I'm depending on God. And you know what I found out? David Linton does a whole lot better when David Linton depends on God than when David Linton depends on David Linton. Because David Linton is seeing through a glass darkly. I can't see everything that's coming down the road. I don't know everything that's going to happen. I have no idea what's going to be happening 6 months from now. God does. And so God says, you be dependent upon me. Yes, you got a limp. Yes, it hurts. Don't you think it hurt him every time he walked? He felt that pain. Y'all remember Matt Dillon? You remember him? Matt Dillon, you remember how big he was? James Arness. Do you ever notice that he walked with a limp? You know why he walked with a limp? He was a war veteran. He got a Purple Heart, maybe a Bronze Star or something. He was a war veteran. He got shot in the hip or in the hip and in that area. And you know something? That's from his war wounds. And he said that he hurt every day of his life. All right, here's Gunsmoke, Mr. Dillon, the bad dude. And I'm thinking he's a cool dude on television. Once I heard that, every time I see that limp, I think about a mighty man, a powerful man, a man that gave it his all. So watch, here it is, a new name, a new walk, a limp, a new dependence, a new freedom. So now, a past, a promise, a problem worked on. We're getting it's going to happen even better now. Matter of fact, let me just stop here for a minute. You know, sometimes we can't, we try to work out problems in a wrong way. There was, after tucking their 3-year-old child, Sammy, in bed one night, his parents heard sobbing coming from his room. Rushing back in, they found him crying hysterically. He managed to tell them that he had swallowed a penny and he was going to die. Now, some of this stuff, as you tell your kids, can really be bad. Now, I swallowed a watermelon seed. Mama said it would grow. Yeah, I swallowed more than one seed. Amen. But he managed to, so he said, Daddy, I swallowed a penny and I'm going to die. No amount of talking was helping, so his father, in an attempt to calm him down, palmed a penny from his pocket and pretended to pull it from Sammy's ear. He said, there it is right there, buddy. Samuel was delighted. And in the flash, he snatched it from his daddy's hand, swallowed it again, and said, cheerfully, "Do it again, Dad, do it again." So now little Samuel's got 2 cents. Sometimes it don't pay to put your 2 cents worth in. Here's Jacob with his problem. Now, I'm here to tell you something. Matter of fact, I'm glad y'all love me. I love y'all. I'm telling that ahead of time, because what I'm getting ready to tell you is not gonna, it's gonna be meat. The Bible says strong meat belongs to them that are strong in the Lord. If all I preach is sermonettes, all we get is Christianettes. So get ready for some hard stuff. Matter of fact, some of you are gonna say, "Isn't it hard about this?" That'll be cool. So look at the person beside. Matter of fact, you know there's actually 1 out of every 3 people have mental problems. Did you know that? So look to your left and look to your right, and if they look okay. Okay, get ready. Lessons from a limp. God is not going to allow a limp without a lesson. Matter of fact, you know, every day Jacob remembered this. That's why when he was dying, he called his sons to him, and he took care of business without letting everybody else get in the way, because he remembered how his daddy got all messed up. He says, "I'm not going to allow it to be done to me." Lessons from a limp. Number one, we just read it through all this chapter here, so I'm just going to tell it to you. God will protect you, but he will not pamper you. Well, come on, somebody. Here's some shouting time. God will protect you, but he will not pamper you. Faith doesn't need pampering. Faith needs challenge. That was the easy one. This one here, you say, "This is impossible." Well, then take Jacob out of the Bible. God will hurt you, but he will not harm you. That's hard. Jacob had a confrontation with God. Jacob was crippled after this. He couldn't run away anymore. His only hope now is in God. Not only does faith not need pampering, but needs challenge. Faith needs us to surrender to God. Amen? I have to tell this. This is so cool. Do you mind if I tell it, Brother Benny? What happened? What we talked about it there? You don't mind, do you? You don't mind, do you, Brother? Brother Benny came up and said, "I pulled a muscle in my back, and I really need God to help." And I looked, and Steve had his arm on him, and Steve just pulled a muscle. "I'm gonna pull more than a muscle." I came in with a limp, I'm gonna walk out with a double limp. Amen. Okay. And so Steve just got over a bad back, but he's still working on it. Yeah, because it's more than just a muscle, but he pulled his back because he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing necessarily. I reckon you just bent wrong, right? Sometimes I reckon you just bent wrong. All right, you were pulling the crab pot, or you just bent wrong? Okay. Well, the same time he hurt his back, I hurt mine. I just bent over to pick up DC's dog. Little bitty dog, ain't no bigger than a butt, looked like an old hairball. I reached over to pick it up before I even got to it. My back went, argh. And so I was praying for Steve. Steve was praying for me. I called Steve, asking him. I said, "How you doing, Steve?" And Steve goes, "I'm doing good, man." And so here come Benny talking about the same thing. I said, "I'm glad you're here, bro. Now Larry, Curly, and Moe can pray." God will protect you, but he will not pamper you. He will allow you. He'll allow situations to hurt. How many here's ever been hurt? Maybe physically, emotionally, mentally? You've been hurt. And you say, "God, why did you allow this?" Because he's more concerned with your character than your comfort. And number 3, God will break you, but he desires to bless you. See, he's no longer Jacob, but he's Israel. Jacob had to admit that he was the conniver, the live by himself, on his own mind. And Jacob had been broken, so now he could be blessed. When you're broken, then you can learn to lean on God. You know, Here's what I got right here. This is my staff. There's my past. There's my promise. There's my pain. There's my power. There's my crown. So now, whenever I walk and I look, I can be reminded of these things. And I'm reminded God delivered me from my past. That there was a time, there was problems, that God helped me through it. There was a lot of pain, but God brought me through the pain, and now there's power in my life because of all that. And my name was changed because I survived the wrestling match. Not because of me, but because of Him. You say, well, is there anybody else ever had that happen? Well, let's talk about some others. There's a whole bunch of them in the Bible. I just give a few of them. They limped over the finish line. Adam, after he ate the forbidden fruit, he limped over the finish line. Samson, after Delilah, he limped over the finish line. David, after Bathsheba, he limped over the finish line. Paul, after the thorn in the flesh, he limped over the finish line. Peter, after he denied Christ, he limped over the finish line. Every last one of them had one thing in common, and that was they trusted too much in self. And so God even told Paul, I've got this so you won't trust in yourself anymore. You'll trust in me. So watch this. For the rest of his life, it reminds him, there's a past that I've overcome. There's a promise that he kept, power released. And now I've got a peaceful dependence on God. A peaceful dependence on God. He didn't run over the finish line. Matter of fact, I need to be careful with this thing. When I had this before and I had to wear it for 2 weeks, Dr. Cook said, I don't want you, you tore a muscle in your leg and you messed up your knee. I don't need you to put any weight on it for 2 weeks. I said, okay. And after about a week, it was getting in my way. I was trying to carry my Bible in the hospital, so I just took one. Y'all saw me, one crutch. I said, I can keep the weight off. That's not what she said. I was walking in the third floor in the hospital, going to visit somebody, and I had a Bible in one hand, a crutch in the other, and I saw her. It's amazing how God does this. Because I just heard Linda say, you ain't doing what she said. And I said, close enough. I think I even got off the phone with Linda that day. I'm probably talking, I'm going to the hospital, and she says, where's your crutches? I got one under my arm. Where's the other one, hardhead? I don't need the other to be fine. So I'm walking out and I see her talking to another doctor. And I went. So I turned my head this way. And I started going. And I made it through one. I made it all the way down almost to the old third floor when I heard these footsteps. And there was a tap on my arm. And Dr. Cook said, where's that other crutch? I said, in the car. She says, where's that other crutch? I said, I just told you it's in the car. She said, why is it in the car? I said, because I don't need it. She said, why did I tell you? I said, Doc, I got to hold my Bible. And then she said, when your leg hurts, don't come running to me. Yeah, look. So look, let me tell you something. There's some of you right here, you've been hit hard, hit low, hit bad. You're limping right now, and you're saying, God, how can I be your champion? I'm limping. How can you use me, God? I'm limping. You know what? And God's saying, I got you like I want you now. Now you're going to depend on me. It's no longer depending on flesh. You're depending on me every step of the way. Go ahead, dear. Matter of fact, you know what? As you're crossing that finish line, let it rip and hit that next one. Let's see here. Look, I've learned to thank God for my limp. I thank God for my limp. I thank God for my limp. Look at somebody and say, I thank God for my limp. I thank God for my limp. One more time. I thank God. Say it again. Linda, show that video, that very first video. Y'all just watch this. Turn it up, sound man. God's not being mean to you. God's being good to you. Better than you ever could imagine. And I want you to watch this. I want you to think about this. Here's a life lesson. God's not sitting there making fun of you. God's not thinking, watch how you're going to make it through this thing. God's here for you. Matter of fact, God is as happiest when he sees you keeping on, trying to make it through the tough times. But he knows when you're going to make it through the tough times is when you got to be like that man's father. And that's a true story. You saw it. Is to let him be your crutch. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I may not run across that finish line. I may not even come in first. But praise God, I'm going to come in. If I'm limping all the way, I'm going to come in. Because you have called me, God, to do something. And now I thank you, God, for that limp. Because it makes me hold on to you harder. In the name of Jesus. Stand up, everybody.
Heart wide open. Make me broken.
You need to pray. So the altars are open. Filled, you need to pray. The altars open. Yes, you may feel like you're limping today and wonder how in the world you're going to make it. God says, just hold on to me. Just hold on to me. Let me take you. Let me take you. Let me take you through. Let me take you through. God hadn't forsaken you. That limp is not a sign of faithlessness. That limp is a sign that God is working. Thank you for the limp, God. Thank you, Lord, that I had to depend upon you. Thank you, God, that things didn't work out like I thought they should. Thank you, God, that I don't have to depend on myself anymore. Thank you, God. You got this thing. You got it, Lord. I thank you for it. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I cannot handle it anymore. God, I'm at my J-box. I'm at my wit's end. God, you got to show me. God, you got to show me. I may limp away from here, but I'll limp away a prince. I will limp away a princess. I will limp away knowing that I've got your hand in my life. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lamb of God. 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 Yes. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm in my J-box. God, I'm pouring it all out right now in the name of Jesus. I'm pouring it out, Lord. I cannot figure it out this time. I cannot work it out this time. God, you got to do it. I will not let go until you bless me. I will not let go until you show me. I will not let go until I feel that grace and mercy flowing. I will not let go, God. Not this time. David Linton doesn't know what to do. Thank you, God. You do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for J-Bach. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I got things behind me. I got things in front of me. I don't know how to handle it, Lord, but you do. I thank you, Lord. My limp is not a lack of faith. My limp shows I've been in a battle with you, Lord, and that flesh, and that you won. Flesh was defeated. I thank you, Lord. Flesh was defeated. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. 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 God is awesome. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Can you see the road ahead that you've been down before? When you're halfway to nowhere and you can't pay the toll, you're hanging on the mercy, withered on the vine. With your feet on the ground, your head in the clouds, and your heart on the line. Open up.
Thank you, Father.
When you don't know how to surrender, but your whole life's been a fight. When the dark haunts you and you can't break through, cause you haven't seen the light. Open up your eyes. You got to rise up, rise up. When this life has got you down, you got to look up. Searching of this bow, my eyes have seen the glory of God.
little girl, dressed in her Sunday best, was running to church as fast as she could, trying not to be late for Bible class. As she ran, she prayed, "Dear Lord, please don't let me be late." Anybody ever done that?
I have.
"Dear Lord, please don't let me be late. Dear Lord, please don't let me be late." And while she was running and praying, she tripped on the curb and fell, getting her clothes dirty and tearing her dress. She got up, brushed herself off, and started running again. As she began running again, she began to pray, "Dear Lord, please don't let me be late, but please don't push me either." Tomorrow, today, but today when you leave this place, you can ask God, he'll show you. When you've come to your J-Bach and there's something that brings a limp in your life. I was at an Emmaus training event yesterday. There was 25 men. And out of the 25 men, all of them had to stand up and talk. And do you know something? I got up and I even said what I was preaching today. Because what I heard was every person, all those 25 men, every one of them were powerful. But every last one of them had a limp. And with that limp, I saw God do something very powerful in that place. Your limp, I don't know what it is, but it's something that you'd rather not have in your life. It's something slows you down. It's something that even makes you see things different. But that limp also makes you have to depend upon God. And if you depend upon God, guess what? He'll take care of you. Yeah. It's out there. That, yes.